Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus, the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that I will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into fire, and burnt. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. It will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Abide in Jesus, that's our topic. This is from John's Gospel. When we read John's Gospel, John does not bring many quotations from the Old Testament. If you look at the Old Testament quotations in the Gospels, Matthew brings around 124 references, Mark 109, Luke 70, but when it comes to John, only 27 references. However, John uses Old Testament imagery in his gospel. That's what we meditated last week. The Old Testament imagery of shepherd, he picked up and he said, Jesus is the good shepherd. We refer to Ezekiel chapter 34, in which the hired hands, the shepherds whom God appointed for Israel, they did not take care of their sheep, they exploited them, they treated them harshly. But that's not the case with the good shepherd. The good shepherd comes to lays down his life for his sheep. That was last week meditation, the imagery of shepherd. But today we are reading, we read from John's Gospel chapter 15. There we see the imagery of vine and the branches. This is again an Old Testament imagery, Isaiah chapter 5. There, a man bought a fertile land on a hill, and he put a good, he dug it, he put a good fence, and not only that, he planted the choicest vine, built a watchtower, and also he made provision for wine press, and he waited for the grapes, the good fruit. But vine yielded wild grapes. What can I do with these fruits? That's a kind of expression you see there. So God did everything and waited for the yield, but the yield was not at all good, wild grapes. The same imagery, John takes it up in John chapter 15. What he says here is very beautiful. In fact, Jesus says, my Father is the vine grower or gardener. He sent his son vine to this world. The vine is planted on this earth, and people, the followers, are grafted in this vine. And when they are grafted in this vine, they yield fruit. That's how this imagery goes. God, the gardener, the vine grower. Jesus, the vine. And when we are attached to him, when we are grafted in him, we yield good fruits. We yield grapes. So Jesus says here, abide in me. Abide in me. When we hear this word, abide, we are a little panicking. Because we cannot remain in a place for long. We naturally tend to move from place to place. So, remain, abide, staying, all that are not great words. And also here, when it comes to abide, it's a kind of an imperative. It's a kind of a command, and we are worried. Now, we have to remember that Jesus is saying, abide in me as I abide in you. We worry more about what I can do, but we need to be thinking about how he did to abide in us. He crossed all barriers. He crossed all boundaries to come and stay with us. When we look at Jesus, there was no need for him to leave the heavenly glory to come to us. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and became human. He was found in human form and humbled himself till the point of death, even the death on a cross. What a beautiful thing. He did everything to come and abide with us. Not only that, there was no need for him to be baptized, but he was willing to take baptism so that he can identify with us more, so that he can be part of us. And he humbled himself, of course, but when you look at Jesus' life, he was humiliated, he was mocked, he was ridiculed, and he was insulted, he was humiliated. He did all that so that he can abide with us. That's what John talks in his gospel. He says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us with full of truth and grace. When he says, come and abide with me, we shouldn't be considering that as a threat. We shouldn't be considering as a difficult task, but we need to be remembering that he comes with grace. He says, come and join with me. He is not coming with a judgmental attitude. He comes with grace. As I abide with you, you also abide with me. The word abide is a very important word in John's gospel. One of the scholars says, abide is the key word for the entire chapter, John 15. There are 11 times the word abide appears. And when you look at the entire John's gospel, more than 50 times the word abide comes. What does that mean? That means we need to be abiding with Jesus. We are grafted in the vine. Grafted, this is how this has happened. There's no mention of how grafting took place in this passage, but grafting We know how it has happened because he died for us on the cross, rose again the third day. He made us his children. That's how we have been grafted. Grafted means his life can come in us. It's not about glued in with the wine. Many of us, many Christians want to be glued with the wine. That will not bring any change. We want to come and go, but are we grafted with him? We are grafted in him. It is all because he graciously grafted us in him. Now, when we are grafted in him, we receive nourishment. One pastor gave a good example. I thought that's very appropriate at this moment. It's an example of a pregnant woman. Recently, some of our church members gave birth to their child. It's altogether a good experience. When the child is in their womb, the baby's blood mixes with the mother's blood. And if you can easily check up what is going on with the child by testing the mother's blood. In the third trimester, the abiding takes place very beautifully. The mother experiences the child moving in her womb. She, wherever she goes with the child. And she doesn't make any complaint whatsoever, but she enjoys the child movement in her womb. The child is automatically nourished. And the child, the fetus, waiting patiently for his or her time to come to this world. And the abiding is so perfect. When the child comes out, that brings glory, that brings joy to the parents, particularly to the mother. Abide in Jesus. When we abide in him, the nourishment takes place. When we abide in him, the fruit comes out, and that brings glory to the Father. The nourishment takes place automatically. Now, we need to ask this question: what is this abiding? What is this abiding all about? That's the question comes to us. Now, in John chapter 17, that's a very beautiful chapter, priestly prayer, we call it. Jesus prayed for his disciples and for those who believe in him through the words of his disciples. A beautiful prayer. In that prayer, at least three times Jesus said, they may be one as we are one. They may be one as you and Father, Father and I are one. Three times he said that. Father and Jesus are so united, the same way we, his followers, should be united in him. What is this abiding all about? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And this Word, when it abides in us, this Word, when it works in us, and when we give heed to this Word, there we abide in the Lord. Last week, we studied about the shepherd and the sheep. The sheep tunes his ears to the voice of the shepherd. We, his followers, are we tuning our ears to God's voice? Now we listen to the first lesson from Genesis chapter 22. Everything was going very beautiful. Now Abraham settled well. He has got the promised child, and still his ears are tuned to God. And God said, go and sacrifice your son. He did not doubt anything. Even without telling Sarah, he took his son and went to the mount. And on the mount, again his ears were tuned. He could hear the voice of God. Abiding means, are you soaked in God's word? In this passage, Jesus is saying that when we are soaked in God's word, we are cleansed. That's what he says in verse 3. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And his words are all well written here in the scriptures. Tune your ears to hear his word. His word. When I was growing as a young boy, every morning my father would ask this question, have you read your Bible today? And every Saturday we have to memorize some Bible verses. Do you do that? Are you soaked in God's word? How many verses have you memorized? I remember a lady missionary, a long time ago, she's no more. She said, I'm not going to look at any other commentaries or dictionaries because I know Bible alone is enough to explain about Bible. I'm not subscribing to that idea, but what she says is that Bible is sufficient for my life. And wherever she went, she would always have Bible in her hand. Do you give importance to God's word? That's where you are going to be nourished. That's where you are going to abide in Jesus. How do I know that I am well versed with the scripture? I remember, I'll just bring an example. I was doing a theological studies on a topic called missiology. You know, missiology, theology, you know, some kind of an overlapping always there. Theology means what? Of course, we can simply say science of God, but God has revealed himself to us, and his study of the revelation of God could be theology. Missiology means how God acts in this world. His action can be understood as missiology. So missiology, theology, overlapping. How can you know God without knowing his action? You know, things like that. So we had a professor, Rankoma. He, whenever he sits in a class, he clarifies the difference between these two beautifully. So we never had a problem. So he is an expert in that field of missiology, and therefore he would be telling us this is the way you have to read missiologically. But he resigned and he left, and we all felt that we are nowhere. We were not able to make that distinction. Now, if you are soaked in God's word, you would be able to tell, yes, this is the way we should be going, or this is unacceptable to God. You will not be simply mixing up things. You would be able to make the difference, what is acceptable, what is unacceptable. You know, we make simple laws for ourselves. We say that if you have to be baptized, you have to come with white clothes. I don't know whether that's important. You know, we make unnecessary things. When you are soaked in God's word, you will be knowing what is acceptable, what is not acceptable, what is pleasing God, what is not pleasing God. Be soaked in God's word. You know, the vine stays all the time, but the branch is for a season. And when the branch is for the season, the branch should yield results. When you abide in him, when you are nourished by the vine, you yield fruit. And why you abide in him? It is all because the love that he has shown for you, you reciprocate that love. I'll bring one more example, and I think we need to be going a little fast. This is a true incident. You obey his command. You receive his command. It is all because the love that you have for him. This is a long time ago this has happened. I was at the very beginning of my ministry. I was in a place for training. It was in a church, and one of the members of the church got married. And this is a very peculiar situation, because this boy who got married was the only son to his parents. There was no other sibling. And he felt that he has got a lot of threats because he's the only son, because they have got some property. So his life is at threat. So his parents thought that they had to get married to their son to a family where there are many members. So they found a girl who is one daughter among seven sons. But this girl is from a Hindu family. She's a Hindu family, illiterate. He's an educated boy, illiterate, but he was willing to marry this girl because he thought he has got a lot of strength from this family, seven brothers, so they are going to protect him. This is all true incident, but of course it's happened a long time ago. Now, they said, this girl's family said, they are Christians, they said the marriage has to be taken place in the church, and if it has to be taken place in the church, she has to be baptized. But the girl's parents said, nothing doing, we will allow her to come to church only on the wedding day, no other time she can come to the church. The pastor agreed, let us not question whether it is theologically right or biblically correct, let's not go into that. So she was baptized in the morning, and the same morning she was married in the church. And I was present as a very young boy. Now, this is the first time this girl has come to the church. She did not know what to do, illiterate. And I was witnessing that wedding, and she was, she was supposed to lean towards her bridegroom, but she was leaning towards the other side, put her head down. I thought how she would manage this family, how she would be a Christian. All the question came. Within a day, everything turned around. The next day, she went to her parents' house for, this is a normal practice in India. You go to your, in the following day of your marriage, you go to your mother's place, your parents' place. She went there and she said everything clearly, no more worship of idols. Don't bring anything. Don't ask me to look at those idols. Nothing doing. And she was coming to church every Sunday. And I visited their house along with our colleagues. And the mother-in-law was saying that she is completely a changed person. She loves her husband. Whatever he wants, she cooks. She forgot all her desires. She lives for her husband, and she lives for her husband's faith. Why this has happened? It's all because of the love that she carries for this family or for this husband. When you are grafted in Jesus, you love him. And you love him, and therefore you obey his word. Obey his word. Now, what is this fruit all about? We need to come to that quickly and then finish. What is this fruit all about? You know that I was a missionary working in the mission fields, preaching the gospel. So our mission leaders put a lot of pressure on us. Harrison, where are the fruits? You have been serving here for 1 year. How many of them are going to be baptized? Have you come up with names for baptism? So they considered fruits as the number of souls won for Christ. Is this fruit all about? Mother Teresa taught us very beautifully, you know, success is not what we are aiming for. What we are aiming for is to be faithful to God's call. So being faithful to God, is that fruit all about? What about the fruit of the Spirit? We have brought some grapes today. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness. Is that we call fruit? Jesus answers this very beautifully in this passage, verse 8. My Father is glorified by this. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. When we, whatever that brings glory to God is what fruit all about. Bringing people to Christ. Yes, fruit of the Spirit. Yes, being kind, being doing, living a righteous life. Yes, all that brings glory to God is a fruit. The vine grower is looking for fruit. He not only simply looking for fruit, but he looks for more fruit. If you are a gardener, that's what you will be doing, right? You will not be satisfied with here and there some fruit. He wants much fruit. So the difficult part comes. I'll finish it very quickly. The difficult part is this. He deals the branches in two ways. We know that. If it bears fruit, if there is some sign of fruit, then he prunes it, he trims it. If there is no sign of fruit, he cut it and throw it off. That's a difficult part. Very clearly, the vine is planted among us, and the vine is willing to graft us with him. And we need to be yielding fruit. If you don't show the sign of fruit, then it is cut it off. Then it is cut off. The point here is there is no 50-50. You are there and here. In Christianity, there is no neutral position, unfortunately. If I say that I am 50 there, 50 here, then I have to remember that I am glued to the vine. I'm not getting any sap or energy from the vine. There's absolutely no 50-50. There is either we are on his side or we are on the opposite side. But if we show the sign of bearing fruit, the Father prunes it. He wants results. It's a painful process. Pruning is a painful process. Three prominent fruit-bearing trees are mentioned in biblical land: olive trees, fig trees, and vine. And pruning takes place only on vine. Pruning is necessary in God's kingdom. Otherwise, we will not be to our potential. And the Father wants to see that we bear much fruit, much fruit. Is God pruning you? Have you ever experienced God pruning you? You may be thinking that I'm doing everything correct, but things are not going properly. Is it because God is pruning you? In the last year, have you seen God disciplining you? If that is the case, do not give up. Keep cooperating with the Father, and I'm sure you will yield a lot of fruits. I'll use this illustration and then finish this. This is a fantastic illustration. When I was studying, a priest, a retired priest, came and stayed opposite to our home. His name was M.G. Samuel, Reverend M.G. Samuel. He was a blind pastor. He was not born blind. Because I was a school-going boy, he would take me to different houses for prayer or even for to churches for preaching. So he needed a guide, and I was a guide. I will take him in my hand, and I will take him to different churches, different houses for prayer, even hospital visits. As a young boy, I was doing that, Reverend M.G. Samuel. In one of these, he was 67, 68 at that time. In one of this kind of guiding him to a place, he narrated his incident, how he became blind. In the 1930s, he was a bachelor in arts in English literature, and then he also did LT. In those days, they call it LT, license to teach. So he was a lecturer in a college, very proud of himself, because in those days, to achieve that, to acquire that kind of a degree is impossible. My father, who is much younger to him, did not even go to university. His last qualification is his school leaving certificate. That's it. He achieved many things, and while he was working as a lecturer in a college, the missionaries called him to become a Christian minister, and he left everything and he became a pastor. Well committed. And then he says that he was very proud. He was not able to, concentrate his work. And at some point, while he was traveling in a bus, a butterfly came and struck on both of his eyes. He didn't do something. He rubbed it and came home and washed it, and his eyesight gone. They went to many doctors, and that did not bring any kind of result, and he became blind all through his life. And he said it was a pruning process. And he was one of the fantastic pastors I have ever seen. Is God pruning you? Abide in Jesus. Be soaked in the scriptures. You will be blessing, and you will be a blessing. You will be blessed, and you will be a blessing. God bless us all. Amen. Now, Chris.